Turn to Psalm 23 in your Bibles, please. Psalm 23 or in your devices. I spent four messages on the 119th Psalm. We concluded that last week with lesson four. Psalm 119 is certainly the longest of the Psalms with 176 verses. But the 23rd Psalm, without a doubt, stands to be the most well-known and I would say the most endearing of all the Psalms. We don't know who the author is concerning the 119th Psalm, but we certainly do know who the author is for the 23rd Psalm. And the author is? King David, that's right. I've used this psalm in funerals, and this psalm is good for any occasion. David had his share of difficult times, and he certainly could address the subject of sheep, as he indeed was a shepherd himself. Now, let's go right into the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, I'd say the first part of the first verse. This is a rich part of our text. Notice the word my is used, not the Lord is your shepherd or the Lord is a shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd. This is evidence that King David had an intimate relationship with the Lord. David was just not a follower of a religious creed. David knew the Lord personally. And that's very important. The only way you get to heaven is to have a relationship with Jesus the Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. David knew the Lord, and David, he was intimate with the Lord. David also knew what it was like to care for sheep. He was a shepherd boy, being protector of the sheep. He had already killed a lion and a bear in his encounter with Goliath. Scripture tells us, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. David risked his own life for the sheep. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ is declared to be the believer's shepherd. In John 10, 14 and 15, it says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. At the age of 14, I received Christ as my Lord and Savior. When I was 9 years old, I was baptized, I joined the church, but at that time, the Lord did not become my shepherd because I was just jumping through the loops that my parents wanted me to jump through. I was just going through the steps of religion. I was not a Christian. But at the age of 14, I realized I was a sinner in need of Christ, and I received Jesus as my Savior. On August 28, 1966, the Lord became my shepherd. And I sure hope he's your shepherd too. And then it says, I shall not want. Or I shall not want for anything. This means anything. In his book, Living Beyond the Daily Grind, Charles Swindoll shares this. Like many of the Psalms, Psalm 23 states its case in the first verse and simply verifies it in the remainder of the song. The key thought is this. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for anything. I shall not lack nothing. No uncertainty should frighten me. Here is the way the theme of Psalm 23 is played out in the balance of David's famous song. I shall not lack rest or provision. Why? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not lack peace. Why? He leads me beside quiet waters. I shall not lack restoration or encouragement when I faint, fail, or fall. Why? He restores my soul. I shall not lack guidance or fellowship. Why? He guides me in the paths of righteousness. I shall not lack courage when my way is dark. Why? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I shall not lack companionship. Why? For thou art with me. I shall not lack constant comfort. Why? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I shall not lack protection or honor. Why? Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I shall not lack power. Why? Thou hast anointed my head with oil. I shall not lack abundance. Why? My cup overflows. I shall not lack God's perpetual presence. Why? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall not lack security. Why? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, beloved, I ask you, what more is there? Everything is covered right there. I shall not want. Do you believe that the Lord, our shepherd, is the supplier of all of our needs? I believe it with all my heart, with all my heart. And I hope you do too. Then he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, when we were in Israel in 2019, it just so happened, as a matter of fact, it wasn't supposed to happen the way it happened, but when you go to Israel, there is scheduled a boat trip on the Sea of Galilee. And we were scheduled to be on it at another time, but through some shifting, it worked out to where we were on the boat on Sunday morning. How many of you were with us then? I know Mike and Kathy were, and okay. Yeah. And it just so happened the water was so still that day. Do you remember that? How still the water was? And we were on that boat. We had a worship time. We had testimonies. And to be honest, it was a very unforgettable time. Now, if those waters weren't still, it probably would not have been as enjoyable as it was. But the waters were just so still. Warren Wiersbe shares this: sheep will not lie down when they're hungry, nor will they drink from fast-flowing streams. Sometimes the shepherd will temporarily dam up a stream so the sheep can quench their thirst. You can read verse 2, beside the stilled water. In heaven, our shepherd will lead us to fountains of living water. You know, Revelation chapter 7, verse 17 says, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Those are great words. No matter how turbulent the waters of your life may be, even this morning, they can become still waters. There can be a peace that passes all understanding. There can be a stillness and a solitude in your life if you have a right relationship with the shepherd, if you're intimate with the shepherd. You know, the world around us, as turbulent and uncertain as these days are, needs to see us as Christians exercising faith in the Lord and not exercising characteristics of a worrywart. Regardless of a government shutdown as a possibility in the next few days, God's people should not worry, because we should not look to the government as our source, nor to any other source as our source of blessing and our source of provision. Lynn and I have looked to the Lord Jesus for our source at all times. The government's not our source, and what this church gives us, that's ultimately not our source. We're thankful for everything, but our ultimate source is the care of our shepherd, Jesus Christ. And I hope that's your perspective too. If not, you'll have plenty to worry about. So if you want to go ahead and worry, go ahead. Bite your fingernails to the bone, but you don't need to do that. If you really intimately know the shepherd who really cares for the sheep. David was willing to give his life for the sheep. He killed a lion and a bear. Listen, Jesus Christ has already given his life for us. He has already done it. And you see, Christianity is not do this or do that like all the other religions of the world. Christianity is a done fact. Christ, the Savior, has died for us on the cross. And he is ever looking after us. We can drink from the still waters of faith and trust in Jesus rather than worry. I'd rather do that, wouldn't you? While we display to the world around us a life and countenance, or let me say this, when we display a life of worry and frustration and care and anxiety before the world around us, the message that we're really sending to the world is that, okay, I believe in God, but I don't trust Him. I believe in Him, but I don't trust Him. I believe He is the shepherd, but boy, I don't know if He can look after me or not. When we worry, we may not realize that we are really questioning God's ability to take care of us. Has that ever dawned upon you? And we don't want to think that way, do we? But that can be our action. That can be our display to the world when we're really not resting in Him. Matthew 6:25 are the words of Jesus. Aren't they written in red in your Bible? That way you can know they're the words of Jesus. But these are the words of Jesus. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry. We could stop it right there. Jesus said, do not worry. Do not worry about what? Nothing. Anything. Do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Here's a question I want you, if you have children, I want you to think about this. Would you be offended or set back if your children, whom you have fed and clothed all their lives, if any of them were to come up to you and ask you, are we going to have anything to eat tomorrow, Dad, Mom? Now, these are kids that you've fed all your life. They've never gone without a meal. And one of them comes up to you and says, are we going to have anything to eat tomorrow? Or one of them stands before you and fully clothed saying, am I going to have anything to wear tomorrow? Am I going to have anything to wear? What would you say? For one thing, you'd be shocked. But that's exactly the way God's children act sometimes. Amen? That's exactly the way we act sometimes. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Has He always met our needs? God, I can stand before you and say, I can literally say it now. The words of David, I've been young, like these kids were, and now I am old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Listen, you honor the Lord with your life. He's going to take care of you. Don't worry. That's a bad testimony on our behalf when we worry and fret. And we say we know the Lord. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, sheep are really like a lot of other, sheep are not like a lot of other animals. You can train a dog. You can even train a horse. You can break a horse. You can teach a parrot to talk. There's a lot of animals that you can train. There's a lot of animals that have some sense. I understand that porpoises are pretty smart sea creatures. But I think probably some appropriate words to describe sheep are dumb as dirt. Now, don't take offense. Please don't take offense at this. But it's interesting that we are compared with sheep. But you know, God created all of us, didn't He? Yes, He did. He is everyone's creator. And knowing us the way that He does, God has appropriately compared us with the right animal. You know, if a sheep decides to wander off on its own, it can mean disaster for that sheep. Maybe I'm talking to someone this morning today who has wandered off from the Lord. Listen, any direction away from Jesus is down. Maybe there's a day when you were reading your Bible every day, but you've gotten so busy and you've begun to neglect that quiet time with the Lord in the morning. And that for many is the beginning of wandering away from the Lord, is when you wander away from that special time of solitude with Jesus. Maybe you come to this church to check the box, and then frankly you live like the devil the rest of the week. You live like there is no God the rest of the week. Maybe there's a day when you were serving the Lord in some ministry. Yes, we've all gone through COVID. COVID has taken a bite out of all of us. And maybe there was a time, you're back in church now, but there was a time when you served, but now you're thinking, well, let somebody else do it now. Let somebody else do it now. Next Sunday, we're having a ministry fair here. And if a person only comes through those doors and leaves through those doors, so many people never know the scope of the ministry that we have here. There are a lot of things going on here, and there are so many things that you could be a part of. There are so many people you could be investing your life in. And we need more workers. And serving Jesus is a win-win. When you're a blessing to somebody else, you get the blessing. You get a blessing. And there is a fulfillment that comes when you exercise your spiritual gifts in the name of Jesus that nothing else can do for you, folks. But maybe you've been wandering around. I encourage you, get back in here. Pick up the service mantle and begin to serve the Lord again. He'll restore your soul. Maybe you're backslidden. God will restore your soul. Jesus Christ can put your life right. He will restore your joy and your peace and your fulfillment in life. He also leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." See, we get to heaven on the grounds of the application of the righteousness of God upon our life. When a sinner places faith in Jesus Christ, God takes the righteousness of his son Jesus and applies that righteousness to our life. And he takes my sin. He takes your sin and puts it on Jesus. And because of the application of that righteousness, we are made right with God. We're reconciled to God, and we get to go to heaven, and we get to know him personally. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Notice those words, shadow of death. You know, shadows have never given me a black eye or really hurt me. Shadows have never broken my arm or broken my leg. Remember when you were a child, maybe you were in bed one night and there was a storm and thunder and lightning and there was a tree beating against the window and you saw that shadow of that tree and it looked like a monster was trying to break into your room, and you would do what all children would naturally do. You pull the cover over your head. And you're scared to death. Maybe you run to mom and dad's room. I don't know. But anyway, it's easy for a shadow to cause fear. Yes, a shadow can cause you fear, but did that shadow ever hurt you? Did that shadow have any power to grab you? The answer, of course, is no. I like the way that David identifies death here. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Leith Anderson shares this neat story. Donald Barnhouse was the pastor of Philadelphia's 10th Presbyterian Church when his wife died and left him with young daughters to raise alone. He did something that I could never do. He conducted his own wife's funeral. It was while driving to that funeral that he realized that he had to say something to explain all of this to his girls, to somehow put in perspective for them something with which he himself was already struggling. They stopped at a traffic light while driving to the funeral. It was a bright day, and the sun was streaming into the car and warming it. A truck pulled up next to them, and the shadow that came with the truck darkened the inside of the car. It was then that he turned to his daughters and asked, "Would you rather be hit by the shadow or by the truck?" One of them responded, "Oh, Daddy, that's a silly question. The shadow can't hurt you. I would rather be hit by the shadow than by a truck." "Me too." It was then that he tried to explain to them that their mother had died and that it was as if she had been hit by the shadow. It was as if Jesus had stepped in the way in her place, and it was he who had been hit by the truck. He quoted the familiar words of Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Praise God. Of course, many of you know that in the New Testament, death, the word death is not ascribed to the believer. There's another word that is ascribed to the believer when that believer passes away. What is that word? Sleep. Sleep. When we go to sleep, the angels are the angels of God can transition us right into his presence. We become more alive than we have ever been. There is no death for the believer. Jesus Christ won the victory over death, hell, and the grave when he arose from the dead. He was the first fruits, and we shall follow. In conclusion is verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's take the first part of that verse first. What's this all about, goodness and mercy? What's that all about? What could be the benefit of goodness and mercy following us all the days of our lives? In his Exploring Psalms, Volume 1, John Phillips shares these precious words. "We are on a journey. Hard on our heels come God's two great ambassadors, goodness and mercy." And I love this. "Goodness takes care of my steps. Mercy takes care of my stumbles." We heard a song a little while ago about goodness. Is God good to you? Yes. Yes, he is. God has been good to me all my life. Now, I qualify to park in one of those super senior spots. But I don't, okay? I don't. That's for you. But I can stand before you and say, God has been good to Linda and I all of our lives. And he still is good. Goodness still follows my steps. Every step I take, goodness follows it. But I'm also glad for the words, "Mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life, and goodness and mercy will follow me all the rest of the days of my life. I'm glad I have mercy for my stumbles. Do I still stumble? Yep. Do you still stumble? Yes, God's good to you, but do you still stumble? As long as you're in this flesh, you're going to stumble. But don't let the devil beat you up with your stumbles, okay? Because we all stumble. We're all human. Don't let Satan rub into your life guilt. Some guilt can get you right with the Lord, but don't let guilt run your life. 1 John 1:9 is for all of us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad mercy takes care of my stumbles. Mercy, you see, is not getting what I deserve. Grace is getting, grace is not the same as mercy. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting something that you do deserve. I deserve hell and punishment forever. But I'm glad God gave me mercy, and I'm glad that mercy follows me all the days of my life because of all the stumbles that I have in my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, what's that all about? What does that really mean? Let's go back to verse 1, and you'll find out what it means. The Lord is my shepherd. Did David say, I sure hope the Lord is my shepherd? Have you ever asked somebody, are you a Christian? Do you know you're going to heaven? And they say, I hope so. Have you heard those words before? Maybe you've said those words before. I hope so. No, we have a no-so salvation. Yes, we do. It's not that I have to hold on to God. God holds on to me. Has the chief shepherd ever lost one of his own? Has he? Chief shepherd has never lost one of his own. Never. And he never will. In other words, David is saying, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever because he knew the Lord intimately. In other words, David believed in the eternal security of the believer. David knew where he was going to spend eternity for heaven. And my question to you this morning is, do you know Jesus? And do you know where you're going when you die? And will you spend eternity with the Lord forever? If you're in Christ, you will. If your name is written in the book of life, yes, you will.